Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. I would say a few announcements, but we got a lot of announcements for me. So we're going to go through those, and then we'll have our prayer time and start our worship service. Choir practice this afternoon at 5:15 p.m. As you can see, it's time to pack shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. There's material on the back table. We need the shoeboxes by this Wednesday night so we can get them delivered. Thank you for helping with this mission project. Pray for the child that will receive the box and pack. Wigan Baptist Church will be feeding the ESL class at First Baptist November the 27th. If anyone would like to help, you can meet us at First Baptist at 7:45 p.m. This Wednesday night is our monthly Wednesday night supper at 6:30 p.m. We are having soup and sandwiches. The soup is taken care of. A sign-up sheet is in the back for things that are needed. Please plan to come and fellowship with us before prayer meeting this Wednesday night. November the 19th at 6 p.m. is Community Thanksgiving Supper. Will be at Union Springs Baptist Church. Men's Ministry Standing in the Gap this Thursday at 7 p.m. So any men or young men or boys, please let them know they are welcome to come. Meal will be provided there. And January the 22nd is the Titus II Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. We had 27 in Sunday school this morning. Please encourage people to come and attend that if they can. Any other announcements, y'all? Any other? Okay. Any birthdays?
Catch that next Sunday. That's a good reason that I know that.
Okay,
we don't want to get it ahead of you.
We got that clarified. Okay, thank you, girl. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray for this service this morning, Lord, and just lift it up to you, Lord, and dedicate it to you, Lord. I pray that we have come today, Lord, and that we have just did away with all of our distractions that may distract us from praising our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. And I also just want to lift up Brother Tim to you as he proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we not only just listen, Lord, but we listen and we obey. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I believe we have a video, right?
Yep.
A lot of people, when they think of Fiji, the first word that comes is that it's a paradise. I want to go there. Some of them have said, this is my bucket list to get there.
Fiji is a paradise with a lovely beaches, friendly people all around.
Yes, Fiji is a paradise, but weather plays out a lot. There's a lot of storms here, there's a lot of rains here.
It really floods a lot from November to April here in Fiji. The flood waters went through my house twice. After the first one, I do my cleanup, trying to bring my family back home, and the second flood came in.
And during this flood, most of the children, they have been affected. Sometimes their school books, school bags, food in their house is being washed away.
Rain becomes an obstacle, but it also gives us an opportunity to see what else God can do.
When all containers comes in, it always come in a very challenging time for us, especially it's a cyclone season, it's a rainy season, and so our boys work so hard to get all these boxes out of the container in time.
All this changing of weather does not slow down the work of Operation Christmas Charlie in Fiji.
Rain or shine, flood, cyclone, but ministry has to move on. And so this Operation Christmas Child ministry, national team, regional team, we push through it. Sometimes we have to go in the weather to reach out to those children.
Operation Christmas Child motivates us to push through, for us to reach out for the unreached, especially the children. And what we are doing about it is to go through any challenge that comes across and grab every opportunity and open doors that open for us, and above all, the gospel message.
Good stuff. We're getting the table full over here. Looking good. Well, good morning again. Our call to worship hymn this morning is hymn 213. If you're looking in the hymnal, it should be on the screen. But let's all stand, smile, sing real loud. We will glorify. If you feel like so. We'll sing all four verses. This will be our offering.
Question as we get started this morning. If I were to talk to your best friend, would they say that you are a thanksgiver or a complainer? As you all know, it's Thanksgiving time. And also this morning and tonight and next Sunday morning, I'll be speaking about Thanksgiving and what it means to us and what it means to God. Because if we think about the world we live in today, in America especially, there's a whole lot of complainers. Amen? Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, just hang around 5 minutes with a group of people standing there talking, and if it's cold outside, what are they going to be complaining about? If it's 105 degrees, what are they going to be complaining about? If it's 82 degrees, they're going to be complaining. Amen? We live in a society that is full of complainers. If you don't believe me, watch the news for a little while, and when they talk about the president or the governor or some judge or somebody, we're going to start complaining. Amen? Did you know that God hates complaining? God hates complaining, and yet we must not think so because we do a whole lot of it. You know that God has even destroyed people for complaining. We're going to look at just a couple passages in Scripture today. But as we do, I want us to focus on the question, am I a thanksgiver or am I a complainer? Because the reality is, this is two very different words, but two very different attitudes of the heart. Because a person who complains can find nothing good in anything. But a person who is thankful can find something to give God thanks for, no matter what situation he is in. In our passage this morning, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 39, I'm really going to focus on just the very first part of that verse. And it says, why should a living man complain? That is a rhetorical question. It is a rhetorical question because as a living person, God has faithfully given us the things that we need. The houses we live in, the cars that we drive, the places we work, the people we worship with when we come to church. He has given us our family members. That might be a reason to complain, amen? I'm just kidding. Why should a living man complain? Why should he complain? What right do we have to complain against God? Because when we think about the sovereignty of God, if God is in control of every single thing in your life, that means that every single thing that comes to you and me in our lives has to come through with his stamp of approval. It has to have his filter mark on it. It has been filtered by him before it gets to you. See, we have a problem sometimes because God's will, as we talked about Sunday school this morning, and our will sometimes are two different things. And what God knows is best for us and what we think is best for us is at odds with us and him. And it causes conflict, and when it causes conflict in our lives, we begin to complain because we don't like the way it looks, the way it smells, the way it feels. We don't like it, and so we begin to grumble and complain about the sovereignty of God. This is not on the board because I thought about this verse this morning that had time. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. In that passage, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is talking about end times. And he says one of the signs of the end times will be that people are unthankful. Man, if you think about that verse, think about this for just a moment. Thank you, Mr. Sean. If you think about that verse for just a moment, and you think about how unthankful we live in our society today. You can hold the door open for somebody going into a restaurant or a store, and you know what they're going to do? Half the time, they will not even say thank you. It don't matter if it's a woman or a man or whoever. They just walk right on by. You're trying to be nice, you know, trying to do the right thing. Because I was brought up, when you walk through a door and somebody's coming behind you, what do? You hold the door for them. But I was also taught when somebody holds the door for you, what do? Say thank you. That's a reminder, okay? It's Thanksgiving. Y'all give people thanks for what they do. Here's the thing. The sign of the end times is unthankfulness, and we live in a society that has become so unthankful for everything we have. Yet we live in a society where we have more than any other nation on earth. Going back to Lamentations 3. What right do we have to complain? When you look at how blessed you are, and I know we've been through hard times, we all have, that are not minimizing what you've been through or what you're going through, but are we focusing on what we think we should have or what we think we shouldn't have, or are we focusing on what God has given us? As I think about these verses, I think about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul tells the church of Thessalonica, we're going to like this verse because, no we're not. It says in, what's the next word?
In everything.
In everything. Give what? In everything. That means... And I know this is hard. That means in the good times, we're to give thanks. That means in the bad times, we're to give thanks. That means in the emotional times, the stressful times, the times when we feel like we're not appreciated, and the times that we feel like we're left out, the times that we feel alone, we are to give God thanks in everything. In everything, because no matter what you are going through, and I probably said this a dozen times since it's been here, in everything, God has a plan and a purpose for you. He has a plan and a purpose for what you are going through, and He has a plan and a purpose for you to be a witness to somebody else down the line. Amen? About again this morning. Sunday school answer, church answer. How are you doing today? Fine. And you know you're lying through your teeth. You know it. You know you're not doing well. And you've been through the worst week of your life. And I wonder why the world thinks of us sometimes as hypocrites, because we paint ourselves so pretty on Sunday mornings. And yet we've been through a nightmare of a week. And maybe it's not complaining. Maybe we just need to bear one another's burdens, because there is a difference. Amen. There's a difference between complaining, and there is a difference between bearing one another's burden. Because when the weight's too heavy for you, me and somebody else is supposed to come alongside of you and help you bear that burden till you're strong enough to carry it again on your own. That's our responsibility as a church. But we are to be thankful. In Numbers, I'm going to ask you if you will, look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. We find a story of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, we would say, are God's chosen people. Again, they're His people. Now, we know that as we study through, I'll give you a little background here. We know as we study through this that God has led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Did He take them out of there empty-handed, or did He give them all the spoils of Egypt? He gave them everything they needed, plus... They carry everything out. The soldiers from the Egyptian army come running behind them, and they get to the Red Sea, and what did God do? Did He make them all die there? No, He parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on what? Wet ground, muddy ground? No, on dry ground. The Egyptian soldiers, the Egyptian army, when they were coming after the Israelites and they followed the Israelites through the Red Sea, what did God do to the Egyptian army? He wipes them out, right? God has taken care of every single thing they need. How many of y'all like eating donuts? Y'all, if we're in church, so y'all tell the truth. Most everybody likes eating pastries, right? Some kind of pastry out the turnover or whatever. Y'all getting hungry now. Could you imagine God's giving you pastries to eat every single day. All you got to do is get out there and pick them up. You know, that's what manna was. It was like a pastry. All they had to do was go outside and pick it up. Now, they could only do it on 6 days a week because on the Sabbath they couldn't pick it up. And if they kept more than what they could eat every night, they just wanted to have worms and stomach, right? Read the Word of God. But here's the issue here. Is the people, because God had richly blessed them, they began to grumble and complain. And yet y'all going to Starbucks every morning getting you a pastry. Listen to what it says here. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. For the Lord heard it. Don't think God's not listening to what you say. Amen? He is. The Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them in the outskirts of the camp. How much did God dislike, displease their complaining? He killed some of them. Must be pretty serious, right? Must be pretty serious if God is willing to kill people because they commit this sin. And although we think that it's not that bad because we think, well, we do it, so it must not be that bad. The anger of the Lord was aroused. Some of your translations say kindled. In other words, that fire was lit. And God's consuming fire, he just could not stand it, and he began to take them out. Maybe it was one by one. Maybe it was just one breath of his mouth that just consumed them all. I don't know. This tells us that the fire swept through them and killed those on the outskirts of the camp. Here's what I want us to think about this morning. There are three reasons complaining is wrong. Three reasons. The first one is it denies the sovereignty of God. Now, I know we can get in a long debate, and I'm not here this morning to get in a long debate about the sovereignty of God. But here again, we believe that God is sovereign. Pharaoh, remember in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Moses comes to him and tells him that the Lord said, let my people go. The purpose was for God's people to be able to go back and worship their God. And what did the Pharaoh say? He says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, no, nor will I let Israel go. Here is the thing. God is sovereign. Now, Pharaoh may have said, I don't know who he is. But did that change the fact that there was the God of Israel? And the God of Israel saying, listen, you're going to let my people go. This is my will for my people to be able to come and worship me where I say for them to worship me at. And Pharaoh said, no, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let it go. And we know through the story that eventually, through the death of his own son, he let them go. God let them go from Egypt. He let them go with the spoils of Egypt. He let them go through all dry ground. He let them go and destroy their enemies. And yet time and time again, the people of God, the children of God, the nation of Israel complained and complained about God, about his sovereignty. God didn't know what he was doing, bringing them out there to die in the wilderness, right? Remember? They complained. Oh, we're fit to step on toes here. they not only complained about their situation and what they had to eat, they also complained about their leaders. The reality of complaining is that it has a much deeper root in our lives. It is really based on a sense of discontentment. Somebody once said this: God is most satisfied with us when we are most satisfied with Him. God is most satisfied with us when we are most satisfied with Him. What does that mean? That means that God, in our relationship, if I'm trusting Him for everything and everybody and every situation in my life, I know He has total control, because He does. He is sovereign, right? And there's nothing going to come to me unless it has to come through with His approval first. If you don't believe me, read the book of Job, right? First two chapters, and you'll find out about what has to come through God's approval first for our own lives. But here's the thing: God is sovereign in what He allows to come to us. He is sovereign in the leaders that He places over us in our lives. But when we complain, it shows that we are discontented with God. Because in our minds, God doesn't know what He's doing. Why is God letting me go through this? Anybody ask that question? Why did God do this to me? And I know there's serious questions there, and I don't think God is intimidated by our questions as long as they don't become accusations. God, why? Why? He's not belittled by that, because He wants us to know. He wants us to trust Him. But oftentimes we fail to trust Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, when we complain, listen, when we complain, we really call into question, and what Paul writes here, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works how many things? Some things? All. He works all things according not to Tim Dudden's counsel, okay? Not to your counsel. He does all these things according to His own will, His own counsel. He doesn't need my opinion, amen? He's got His desire. He's got His will. He's got His sovereignty. He is God. He is creator. He is sustainer. He is provider. He has it all. And I simply need to trust Him that He knows what's best. So who am I to question Him? And here again, the question does not concern God. It is the accusations that God doesn't know what He is doing. That is the part about complaining. Questions, okay. Complaining is not. We're not going to read this chapter, but in Acts chapter 16, I want us to think about this. Remember Paul and Silas were walking through the city, and there's this little demon girl that came running up behind them. Y'all remember? And she kept aggravating. And Paul simply turned around and did what? Cast the demon out of her, right? Well, there goes all the profit from all them merchants that were in the city, right? And so they arrest Paul and Silas, and they throw them into the prison. And Saul and Paul and Silas was in there that night, and they were having a complaining session. Is that what your Bible tells you? No, they weren't complaining. They were praising. They were celebrating that. They were seeing fit to suffer for the cause of Christ and for the gospel of Christ. And so they're locked up in this prison, and they're singing songs of praise and praising God and having this a glory hallelujah time. And they're in there, and there was a jailer in there. And that jailer got listening to him, and all the other prisoners got listening to him. And when the doors of the jail were opened up, and the jailer realized what was going on, and he was fixing to kill himself because he thought, surely all my prisoners are gone. And back then, if you gave a life, your life was taken. So that was the death sentence for him. And he'd rather take his own life than for the government to take his life. And so he's going to kill himself. And they cried, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And the Philippian jailer comes to him and he says, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And this is going to be hard on some of us. If Paul and Silas would have spent the whole night in there complaining and grumbling about what happened to them and how unjustly they were treated by them and by everybody else, do you think that Philippian jailer would have asked them, "What must I do to be saved?" No, he'd probably said, "What must I do to get rid of these Christians?" You see, our testimony impacts the world around us. But when we complain, we deny the sovereignty of God. Complaining is unbelief in God's word. Romans 8:28, we all know this well. It tells us that all things work for what? They work together for good. Now, see, that's hard for us to understand because we only see the here and now. Our perspective is focused on my pain, my suffering, my discontentment, my distrust in right here and right now. And it's not looking at the big picture, but guess what God sees? He sees the big picture, and he knows that what you're going through today, you might need further down the road. Talk about that in Sunday school this morning. See, if you're not in Sunday school, you're missing out. Amen. So, here's the thing. When we focus on the here and now, we're missing out on the big picture that God has for us. And we need to go back to this verse because we want to go to this verse when everything's going right. But when it's not going right, we have a problem with this verse because we know that all things work together for good to those who do what? Love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, if you're a child of God, we have no reason to complain to God because he is sovereign. We need to trust him. Point number two, complaining destroys Christian fellowship. It destroys Christian fellowship. In Numbers chapter 13, I want to read just a couple of verses here. Excuse me. Numbers chapter 13. Look down with me to verse 30. A little background here, too, before we get into these verses. We know they crossed over, sent spies, check out Canaan. How many went over there? 10. How many came back with a good report? 2. How many came back with a bad report? 8. Now let's read this verse. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up against the people, for they are stronger, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone, I espise as a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Fast forward. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 36. Numbers 14, 36. It says, now the men whom Moses sent spied the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. Here again, when we complain, what does it cause others to do? You ever been outside at night time and hear one dog bark in the neighborhood? And I'm not calling anybody a dog. I'm not. What I'm saying is that when one dog barks, what happens? The rest of all the neighborhood, even my little dog inside, now he's scared of his own shadow. There is no doubt about that. He is scared of his own shadow. But if he hears another dog barking out there, he'll, you know, and every once in a while he'll yelp at it too. But here's the point. When you're at a pond late in the evening time and you hear one frog croak, what happens? They all start crowing. When you have one person complain in a church, amen, church is not exempt from problems. When one person complains in church, whether it's on the job, whether it's in your family, what begins to happen? It spreads like wildfire. It spreads like wildfire. And when it does, it begins to destroy the Christian unity that our Savior died to give us. It destroys that. Be careful what you say. Be careful knowing that if we don't give thanks, then we are probably complainers. And you know what? When we complain and it causes discord among the brethren, let's put up Proverbs for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Let's read these together. If you don't think the Lord hates complaining, let's see. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. If we're denying God's sovereignty, that means that we think we know what is best. Now, what does that make us? Prideful. A lying tongue. When we say that God doesn't know what he's doing. Amen? That's a lie, because he knows. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord. Wow. What does complaining do? Causes discord. It breaks the unity of fellowship within the church. And yes, issues need to be taken care of. No doubt, if you've got an issue, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18 and we'll work it out. Amen. We'll go to that person and we'll try to get everything we can right. But when we go to this one and we go to that one and we go to this one and we go to that one, it sows discord, and that is an abomination to the Lord. It also, point number three, complaining discredits our testimony. If we say, we come to church and we sing the songs. But then we begin to complain. Preacher's too long, talks too slow, talks too fast, complain it's too hot, it's too cold. We get out in the community and we begin to complain about this and complain about that, complain about this person in church and that person in church. What does that do to the community around us? It blows up our testimony. Here's one I found, and I hope that's not true here, but I realize we're human. That doesn't excuse us, but we're human. People have issues, and people always will have issues. Matter of fact, you get a husband and a wife in the same house, they're not always going to get along, amen? What makes us think that we're always going to get along with everybody in church? The problem is that we work together. We come together for one cause, and that is through Jesus Christ to accomplish his will. But complaining discredits our testimony. Think about this. Think about if your neighbor has a problem. You may come to you for advice, and all you do is complain. What makes them want what you got? Why would they want what you have if all they hear is you complaining? If it's about the weather, if it's about sports, if it's about this, if it's about the president, if it's about church, if it's about the government, whatever it may be, if we're always complaining, you know what is true? Nobody wants to be around a complainer. Raise your hand if you want to be your best friend and be a complainer. You know what the truth is? A complainer will suck the life out of you. You talk about bad apples. Put one bad apple, a complainer, in a barrel with a bunch of thousand good ones, and it's not going to be long. All them good ones are going to be rotten too. Well, it don't matter. Read the Bible and see if it doesn't matter to God. Read the Bible. Here's what I want us to think about today. Complaining not only hurts us, because when we complain, are we making anything better? Have you ever made anything better by complaining? When you complain, what does it do? It magnifies what your imagined problem is. Because just like the Israelites, they're coming out of Egypt and they're imagining that they had better food to eat in Egypt, but they weren't given very much food. Yeah, they weren't. And they're forgetting about they were slaves in Egypt, right? They're forgetting about that God had brought them out, a place to give thanks, a place to worship God for all that he has done. But yet they were focused on the past where they used to be. They were complaining about things that didn't exist because God had met their every need. Think about this. As the children of Israel walked through the wilderness for 40 years after this uprising and denial to go across the into Canaan land, what happened? The Bible says their clothes never wore out and their sandals never even wore out off their feet. God provided every single thing they needed. And if God did that for them, why won't he do it for us? And yet, what do we do? Man, it's raining today. It's cold. It's cloudy out there. We ain't seen clouds in 4 weeks. I mean, thank God it's cloudy today. We not only hurt ourselves by magnifying what we perceive to be the problem. It hurts those around us. Because here again, why would they want what we have if all we do is complain? Because surely if you're complaining all the time, your God must not be able to do what you think he can do. Here's something else. Complaining takes no special skill set. You don't have to go to college to figure out how to complain. You don't have to have a high IQ to complain. Everybody can do it. But you know, Christians shouldn't. The Bible's clear. Our Heavenly Father hates complaining. So I want you to think about this morning as we close. I asked this question in the beginning, but I'm going to ask it again. If I ask your best friend, were you a thanksgiver or a complainer, what would they tell me? What would they tell me? You know the answer. You know the answer. Here's what I want us to do this morning, because we're going into a season of Thanksgiving and then a season of our Savior's birth. And we as believers have a lot to be thankful for. And we need to get our hearts right with the Lord and say, Lord, help me be thankful. Lord, I know I have been a complainer and I'm guilty as charged. And Lord, I want to become a thanksgiver. That's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. Will you stand with me? We go into a time of prayer, a time of invitation. I want us to examine our hearts. Say, Lord, what am I guilty of? Am I guilty of being a thanksgiver in all things, in everything? Or am I complaining about everything and all things? And then let's get right with the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're thankful for all that you have done for us. And Lord, you have made it possible for us to see through the examples of those who came before us, to realize that there is a right way and a wrong way. So, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you just have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to examine our hearts to see if we're thankful people or are we complainers. And then, Lord, help us to make adjustments on what we need to do according to your will and your word. I pray it in Jesus' name.